Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy,
who I wish you could all see, is wearing a robe right now because Brad's had a day.
And a night.
That's true.
Mostly the night, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, today we're jumping into who actually I realized might be the most famous space marine, Demetrius Titus. If you think about it.
I was debating on this because obviously the video games are very, very popular and they get it out to a lot of people. And he's now in the game. And we'll talk about this at the end of the next cast about he's leading the charge into the newest campaign.
Here's my logic, though. So anyone who's played the video game knows who he is. Okay, easy. Now, the question is, of people who play the game on the tabletop and read the lore, how many of them don't know who he is?
That is true.
That's why I think he actually might be the most known character in the entire game, only because I think 80 plus percent of the player base, of people who just keep track of the game, are aware of him. They may not have played the game, but they're aware of him, and everyone who played the game has him. So I think that actually might push him up and over.
You might be true on this one. It's hard to say that like people like Bobby G aren't more famous and or Calgar and all that.
Weird. It's wild. All right. Anyway, 40K Lorecast, weekly show on the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Thank you to everybody for your follows, your comments. I actually did look. We're almost 15 million downloads just on Spotify ever. So that's a lot. If you like the cast and want to hear more of Brad and I, click on the link to our YouTube page. There we've got the old episodes of 40K Lorecast converted over, doing a new thing with them. We've got our live Q&A sessions, which thank you for everyone who came to the last one. And we actually have our history of 40K show. And if you're listening to us in 2026, definitely click on it because we have some new shows coming out in 2026. TBD on them. And dates and those things. I've learned not to jump way ahead of something before it's ready because every time I have to, like, six casts later, say, yeah, never mind, guys. But
I feel like someone's getting the finger pointed at them for this one.
Well, if someone could just stop going to the hospital every other week, we'd probably get more stuff done.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
Oh, poor Brad. Anyway, all right. So in the show notes, link to our Patreon, obviously. Massive thank you to everyone who's already joined our Patreon. It is how we're able to do a lot more stuff now, getting more audio and shows. Some of the projects we have in 2026 do include a good amount of video. That is because of the Patreon members allowing us to do that. So huge thank you for you guys. As always, our Patreon, we have one tier. It's $4.99. And that gets you this show plus the history of 40K completely ad-free. Or let's say, you know, you're like preserving life post-apocalypse and you're okay with the cold, you know, then maybe for only 50.45 Norwegian krona, you can listen to us while maintaining the global seed vault in Svalbard. We go with Svalbard. So seeds vault's kind of a cool thing. It stores most of the seeds for most of the world's crops. So if something dies, we can bring it back from extinction, or we could do the sci-fi thing and fire ourselves to another planet and colonize it. But
oil money is a hell of a drug.
Yeah. But Svalbard also has other stuff. This is what happens, guys. I look up a place and I learn more. So I was like, Svalbard, there's a lot of cold there. Like, holy dear God, and a lot of cold. But that's because they're 400 miles or 650 kilometers from the North Pole, which is not ideal. And it's the whole island is built around mining and research. So it's interestingly a really good place to work because the people there make 25% more than the people who live on mainland Norway. Although it's cold, like real cold. And also, fun fact, if you want to move there, just go ahead. It is a visa-free zone, so you can get there. You don't need a visa to move there, but 99% of the housing is owned by the employers there, so you can move there without a visa. But I'll be honest, when you're 400 miles from the North Pole, not a good place to be homeless. Probably not ideal.
Super fun in the summer, though, because it stays light so long.
Still cold. Also, weird thing, cats are illegal. Don't know why, but cats are illegal. And there's a limit on your alcohol consumption. So I'm just going to learn about Svalbard this way. And maybe I'll watch a documentary on it from my house drinking wine.
You know, I haven't been to Norway, but I've been to Sweden a bunch of times. I didn't realize that there's no cats around. This might be my new place to go.
Cats are illegal. Don't worry.
I'm allergic to one animal in the entire world.
Really? That's your only allergy?
Of a creatures.
Yeast is a creature, Brad.
You know what? How about this? Mammals, douche.
Yeah, you would be allergic to like an amphibian. Brad, if Brad's around an axolotl, he breaks out in hives.
What will cause you death? Salamanders.
Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony. For wonderful quips like this, jump into our Discord. Link in the notes. You can come over there and find more of randomly me and Brad talking crap to each other in text form. But more importantly, join our Discord because it really is an incredible place. We've got so many wonderful channels in there. We've been really rocking and rolling recently with them. The health channel, some of the cast channels, general memes, artwork. We even have like occasional painting competitions. Jump in, join this thing. It is so much fun. We're now over 11,000 members and growing. It's been a really fun time. And I just cannot express enough how happy I'm to have you all there.
Sorry, I had to roll my eyes on this because at one of the last casts, I was like so excited. I'm like, John, we're over 11,000. And he's like, no, take a look at it. It's actually 10,993 or whatever.
Yeah. Stop jumping the gun. This is the difference. I'm tall. You're short. I don't round up. That's your whole life. How tall are you?
Always round up.
5'7". No, you're not. All right. Well, let's get to the actual cast. Now,
I'm so excited about this because of the fact that you are so much less of a casual reader of stuff, of the books and stuff, and more of a codex guy and everything. And as soon as we were going to do this cast on Titus, I was so pumped just to think about your head starting to heat up and cook an egg on it.
Yeah.
Because Titus is everywhere.
This was so much work. Was of all the casts we've done. I mean, I have had to read, you know, tomes of things. That's fine. The problem with the Demetrius Titus cast is the stuff is all over the place.
Well, it's what you get. White Dwarf. You've got multiple comics.
Yes.
Two video games. Actually, that's a huge lie because Bolt Gun has them too.
Very little in Bolt Gun, but he appears in Bolt Gun. Two video games. You've also got random articles on Warhammer community. Like this was.
Well, and then two different comic lines they have information on him too. So like, I was like,
they do.
Wow.
That didn't make it into the cast.
John is going to be throwing out a pretty big net on this one of, hey man, who says stuff about Titus? Yes.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I did not read the comic book because everything else I was able to consume, I didn't read those. So I'm going to call that out now. I may get some of that stuff wrong. So anyway, let's get into Demetrius. I keep calling him Demetrius because that's how that comes naturally, but it's Demetrian. My bad. Let's get into Demetrian Titus. Demetrian Titus did not exist at all until 2011. Nope. And then they made a console game called Space Marine, made by the now defunct THQ Gaming Company. They were the ones who made Dawn of War franchise, them and Relic. Relic was a subsidiary of them. They actually had a great set of games in the 90s and their early zeros. Really great games, Stalker, Dawn of War, Metro, Red Faction, but they were run by kind of idiots who leaned into some of these games incorrectly. At one point, they actually invested all their money in making a Wii console edition that allowed you to write on it. Yeah.
It is funny because a lot of these games were pretty cool, like super cool.
Tice doesn't exist. They had a pretty good deal with Warhammer. They'd been making this, they made the Dawn of War games. So they made their first person shooter, it's a third person shooter. And they made Space Marine. Now, this creates a little bit of an issue, which I give GW credit, they cleaned up really well. But Titus doesn't come from GW directly, just like the Blood Ravens. They were made up for the Dawn of War series.
The Dawn of War game.
Yep. And so what happens is this game comes out, Space Marine 1 comes out. It's not that big of a hit. I played it because I'm a Warhammer nerd and I played it back in the day, but not a lot of people played it. So Dimitri and Titus again disappeared for 14 years.
He got put on ice.
But from a lore standpoint, nope, nothing. And then Space Marine 2 comes out. And then GW.
But no, because we had some stuff in between. And they also. Yeah, because the bulk game came out between them.
Fine. He's referenced. So we have a reference. Sorry. I missed out on the one line of text in a Doom knockoff. So there we go. But anyway, now Titus is the lead character in what's going to close out 10th edition. So he's had a bit of a glow up. So we're going to spend
a bit.
Let's dive into him. Now, Dimitri and Titus, he comes from no real significance. He was born to a poor family on an agri world known as Tarentus. The world was in the McCreg sector, and it provided food to the worlds there. Titus is discovered on a battlefield by Ultramarine recruiter Mataris. He's the sergeant in the
secret level.
Yeah, secret level.
Also, if you haven't seen Secret Level, pause, go watch it. It's one episode of Secret Level.
It's 19 minutes, and most of it's credits. So it's actually like 13 minutes.
Yeah, and it's so good. Also, the fact that even young Titus has absolutely zero Fs to give. He's like, hey, I looked over my fields of Fs, and there was none to give.
Titus rocks in that thing. And we're going to cover that. In the next cast, by the way, everybody, we'll cover the secret level because there's a lot of interesting pieces in that. So Mataris discovers him. And the weird thing is there's no mention of why Titus is on a battlefield holding a combat knife, just that he is. Like, what battle was it?
He's dragging it. It's so much bigger than him.
Well, yeah, that's fair. But it is this element where you're like, what's going on here? But we'll skip that point. Titus joins the Ultramarines and he very quickly begins moving up, although not without drama. Titus does have an issue early on. They talk about this with a lot of rage. He doesn't care much for heretics.
I know they call it rage, and it is some rage, but I really feel that he just has no inner monologue. When something's dumb, he just gives no.
Well, yeah, and the rage is not this like blind, uncontrolled, chaos-style rage. It's more like Sicarius, Sigismund. A lot of these warriors, they get pissed off. And what's his nuts? The head of the space.
Logan Grimnar.
When Grimnar is mad, he makes Terminator armor sprint.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, Titus does a bunch of stuff that is unbelievably heroic.
Yeah.
But technically, especially the Ultramarines, who are all about following the tactics and the rules, he's YOLO swaggings quite a bit. He puts on his boots of mighty ass kicking and does 3 backflips and does the superhero landing with Deadpool waiting for it.
Yeah.
All the time.
And the main thing about him, though, is whenever they talk about a character having all these rage issues, and I think a good one is Cato Sicarius, is similar to this. He will always come out ahead. Now, there may be collateral damage. Perhaps we could have had less deaths, heavy air quotes there, if you had differently, but he is always victorious. Titus' story is his first major note of success is his squad was fighting a Chaos Warband. This is back when he's part of 10th Company, and he and his squad are engaging a warband. So for those who don't know, 10th Company is where all the Ultramarines start. So you come out of your neophyte. Actually, even as a neophyte, you'll be in 10th Company. And even just after getting your full gene seed transplantation, you're in the 10th Company. The 10th Company are a vanguard force which is all kind of trial by fire. Full-fledged Space Marines and neophytes, plus a contingent of veterans, obviously. And they're kind of, they work on like first striking opponents. And this is a lot of people come out of the 10th Company. Everyone comes out of 10th Company. But the people who really show off in 10th Company are on, you know, the management fast track of the Ultramarines.
You know what? I want to go off a little bit on, I'm going to get on a Brad soapbox to start, because we're going to talk about something that's going to plague, and it does plague Titus, his entire career here, which is his first incursion. They go against the Chaos. Everybody gets smoked. A Chaos Sorcerer is killing everybody. Titus is horribly hit up, but he kills the Chaos Sorcerer solo, basically.
Yeah.
And instead of, hey, man, that was awesome, you're so brave, you pulled victory from the jaws of defeat, instead, everybody's like, hey, man, why were you able to survive the psychic attacks? Hey, man, yeah. You're like, hey, man, I've never done anything heretical. I've only been a hero. Stop asking, why are you so mad that I didn't get murdered by a sorcerer? And he does. And this happens time and time again.
Yeah, it's not.
We're going to get into it big on Space Marine.
It's not.
It's just, I'm sorry. Like, hey, man.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I just saved this old lady from getting hit by a car. You must have been secretly driving the car. What? What?
They're like, hey, how did you survive? You're like, not thanks for saving the day. Just like, yeah. Why are you still in existence?
Yeah.
That just bugs me, because he's like, I like his hero, the hero style that Titus has. He's not overly ridiculous. Obviously, I like my recklessness and the fact that I love Space Wolves and stuff like that. But I like the heroic that he does. And it leads to a video game style, which is obviously where he is. He's a video game character. But he goes in and saves the day. And each time, like even in the missions, Space Marine Run, and we'll talk about Space Marine 2, man, he's just constantly getting time you're like, hey, man, I saved the day.
I'm going to bury the lead, guys. Brad and I are not huge fans of Space Marine 1. So we'll get to that well, shortly.
There's just certain characters. How about that?
All of them.
I'm going to go on like a 20-minute rant on Leandris pretty soon here.
Yeah. All right. But let's dive into the whole thing with Titus and his resistance to Chaos. So no one really understands what's going on. And I will say they explain this pretty well in one of the Grey Knight novels. And it talks about how all psychers manifest their powers differently. And the idea is that there's almost an infinite style of psychic powers out there. Some people are telekinetic. Some have mind control. Others can damage people, heal people, confuse people, even affect machinery, right? And
well, hold on. Let's not give the one that's one of the biggest is some people are powerful psychers that don't even have psychics. They're just resistant to psychic attempts to either damage them or corrupt and overpower their will.
Exactly. And this is why back in earlier editions of the game, those who've been playing the game on the tabletop for a long time, you used to have to roll for your psychic powers. And there was a lot of them. It was a lot of ways.
That so cool.
It's a better system. It's just the problem you added randomness and people would cheat. So let's just move on with our day. It's true, by the way. So in the case of Imperial psychers, Space Marine psychers, Chaos, others, they all train their powers and they take whatever ability they have natively and either increase it or use it as a bridge to other powers. So in effect, if you're a psyker, you can pull from the warp, but it doesn't mean you can all pull from the warp the same way. And the reason I'm bringing this up here is that no one really fully understands this. It's not a science. And so this is why people
no one can measure the midichlorians.
Yeah. And so what happens is because of that, no one understands it. So with Titus's abilities, whatever is going on with him, he can't explain it. The example I would use is it'd be like if someone had gills and tried to explain to me what it's like breathing through gills. I can't understand that. I cannot. You can tell me I'm underwater and I'm not drowning. That part I understand, but that's about it. So in the case of Titus and some of these powers, Titus probably knows or has a feeling when Chaos is trying to do something to him, but he's able to resist it. But it's just going to be like a feeling in the back of his brain. That's about it. He can't explain it to somebody. And as a result, he gets into problems, as Brad was saying. Except for the librarians, none of the Astartes understand psychic powers. And Hell, even the librarians or the Ordo Malleus don't even understand the true root of psychic powers.
And also, that's one of the biggest things about psychic powers is depending on what branch, what chapter you're in, certain psychic powers are looked on favorably, others are not, even though they're both just psychic powers.
Well, yeah, and ever since the Great Crusade, psychic powers have been overwhelmingly associated with bad things.
100%.
With the exception of navigators, astropaths, Galefields.
But that's why there's a reason in game. It's one of the things that I really like that translates from lore to the tabletop a lot is certain chapters use certain powers because they collect people that have those powers. But they trust those powers and they easily grab them.
Yeah. I think the thing I wanted to focus on is that if you're a space marine, for example, if you want to start is you're not going to remember that, hey, all the navigators are psychers. All the astropaths sending messages are psychers. What you're going to remember is when you went to battle against a bunch of psychers and two of your brothers' heads got blown off by a lightning bolt. So that's your viewpoint of powers. And so this is why there's a lot of mistrust of psychers and anyone around the psychic powers. So in the case of Titus, it's a little bit goofier because he can resist psychic powers. And so they assume
this drives me crazy.
But I'm just trying to adjust.
I get it a little bit, but it's the thing of this is the guy that's able to go against the things that are killing your brothers. Why wouldn't you be embracing the crap out of him? You know what I mean? And they kind of do, to be honest with you. He's pretty popular amongst other.
Well, that's how it goes. He ebbs and he flows. The irony is, and we'll get to it in the next cast. Some of the more modern people like him a lot, but whatever. Now, let's get on to the First Tyrannic War. The First Tyrannic War is when High Fleet Behemoth hit McCreg and hit McCreg hard. The Ultramarines survived, but it hit it hard.
On a quick pause, if you're looking for a cool fleet, Behemoth's cool because I like big creatures. And they're called Behemoth for a reason, but continue.
He's all big creatures, fine. After Titus recovers from his wounds, the reason I bring up this war is Titus recovers from his wounds fighting the Chaos Sorcerer, and he's promoted. And he spends the next 50 years or so fighting with his brothers in numerous engagements for the Ultramarines. He leaves the 10th Company and joins the 2nd. And the 2nd are known as the Avengers of Ultramar, or as I like to call them, the plot armor of the Space Marines.
Double plot armor because it's Ultramarine plot armor.
Yeah.
Nobody's plot armor is thicker than Ultramarine plot armor.
Sicaria, Steel, Agmanon, Viator, now Titus, these guys are all Second Company. A lot of the engagements are Second Company. Unfortunately for Titus, when High Fleet Behemoth is bearing down on McCreg, the Second Company were elsewhere. And while they were rushing back, the Shadow of the Warp slowed them down and made it almost impossible for them to get there. So the Second Company didn't arrive until the end of the First Tyrannic War. But Titus's story is now just starting to begin. Because while they missed the fighting, they did arrive for what you would call the cleanup. Because when you have a Tyranid invasion, if you take out like the Hive Fleet, that's fine. But you still have Tyranids everywhere. They're everywhere. So you had to go through.
They do a great job of this. I love this because of this is a good job of inserting Titus in the after effects. Because there's a huge amount of writing that was already done about the First Tyrannic War.
Yeah.
And you're adding a new character. And I like where they put him. Because
retconned him in well. It is not square peg on hole. They found every gap in the story. Oh, Titus can go there.
Yeah, exactly. But I love this because they've done this in the past where they just kind of just put a painting of they just put the Ricky Bobby they just put his picture over his picture and go Titus was there all along. They did a great job of it.
Yeah. And so
we both known this for a long time. I did not know this.
Did not know this. It's a complete surprise to me.
But I know, but I have to give props. They shit all over him sometimes, and we will a little bit later. But I think they did a great job of this in inserting him in places that you could insert him perfectly. And he does a bunch of counter strikes, and he becomes excellent at killing Tyranids.
Well, he shows something. This is a key thing. What he shows in this time is an ability to learn and adapt from his enemies in combat. And this is why when you're playing Space Marine 2, which I think most of our listeners have played, if they're listening to this, that thing where he can counter strike people as they come in, the reticle comes in, and you have to hit the whatever you're playing with, X, B, Q, I don't care what your controller is, but whichever one it is, that's Titus's special ability. Just like in The Last of Us, Joel's special ability was listening. That sounds, by the way,
Listen too long in Last of Us 2. Yeah,
I love that. I can say people are like, wait, his superpower was listening? Like he had empathy? No, the inverse. But anyway, so Titus is really good at killing Tyranids. However, the first Tyrannic War is rough for the Ultramarines. They lose a ton of people, including the entire first company. All gone. So Agmenon, who's the...
Let's talk about the first company, though. The first company is veterans, mostly in Terminator armor.
Yeah, they're kind of important.
You lost the most senior, most experienced, most decorated of your chapter.
Yeah, so what happens is they take the captain of the second, who's Agmenon. I always want to say Agamemnon, but it's not.
I was just about to say, if you make me say that, I am 100% saying Agamemnon because yes.
Yeah, Agamemnon. It's an A, a G, an E, two M's, an A, then an N. It's not easy.
I'm assuming they won most of these wars by just putting with that horse.
Yeah, let me go with Tim. His name was Tim. Anyway, so Tim leaves the captainhood of the second and becomes the captain of the first.
Come on now, it's got to be Ted.
Ted Spaceman. No, Ted's the Raider Spaceman. This is Ultramarine.
That is true.
Ultramarine's got to glow up.
They got to glow up.
Yeah. It's like a Michael Ted's Lee.
Ted is the most random of Space Marines, and I love it.
Yeah, they've earned two syllables. They're the Ultramarines. So after Agamemnon moves up to first company, then his second, named Trajan, different Trajan, is promoted to captain of the second company. Titus had been serving under Trajan for a while and is promoted by Trajan to the sergeant of Trajan's command squad. And this is a lot of like, blah, blah, blah. Effectively, Titus is the head of the guys who were always right next to the captain of the second company. So where the second company goes, Titus goes. 100 years go by now, and Trajan, Titus, and the second company fight campaign after campaign. Xenos, heretics, traitors, whatever. No problems. Until the Eldari show up.
Well, a specific Eldari also, because they didn't just meet Uthway and had some pleasant conversations. No, they met
defending. Tan. We both held. Let's not defend them. They're bad.
I'm not trying to defend. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're talking about who's bad people, Beel Tan think that all not Eldar should be snuffed.
Yeah, this is
so. This story, that's my whole thing.
This story is funny. So the world is called Beta Arcturus, and it comes under assault from the Beel Tan. And by assault, all right, real quick, Beel Tan. To Brad's point just now, the Beel Tan they're the looniest of the Eldar. They believe that not only are the Eldar the rightful rulers of the galaxy, but that any day now the Eldar are going to defeat Slaanesh and take it back over. So in between, we don't want you guys touching my stuff. That's kind of how they view stuff.
And a bunch of aspect shrines to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yes. So what ends up happening is this Eldar fleet appears above Beta Arcturus, which apparently used to be a crone world, and tells the planetary governor he's got to leave. Again, this planet has been, 100 years, 1,000 years of human occupation. The Beel Tan just got there.
Well, let's also talk about, he shows up. They go, hey, man, you guys got to go. Like, when? Noon.
Yeah.
But I just got here. It's 6 a.m. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, they gave them 6 hours to leave the planet. Distress call comes out. Needless to say, by the time the Ultramarines show up, planet's on fire. Ultramarines get there. Big space battle happens. Now, I will say Beel Tan grossly underestimated what they should be doing here. They were really well prepared to attack a planetary defense force. They were not ready.
Which they wrecked.
Yeah.
They were not ready for a second company. Yeah. No.
So second company comes in, wrecks them in space, just demolishes them in space, then deploys down to the planet. They get down there and they make actually pretty quick work of it. They use between Thunderhawks and drop pods. They start just running over the Eldar pretty quickly. And while there, Trajan, the head of the second company, hunts down the Autark leading the assault and kills him in single combat, which, by the way, like, that's not easy to do. You're talking about killing an Autark. I know in the game it's easy, but he kills the Autark. At the same time, Titus is his crew are like making space for this fight to happen. So they take on the Aspect Warriors. Titus kills 3 of them, which it's just to give people understand, we talk a lot about lore versus tabletop. In the lore, killing a single Aspect Warrior as a Space Marine is an achievement. Titus killed 3 of them. So I was bored and I decided to look it up. What happens if a Sternguard vet went into Aspect Warriors, yeah, he would kill three every single time. Six attacks, re-rolling. So five hits, four wounds. Yeah, three wounds, three dead. Anyway, fun story that how the tabletop just disappoints us sometimes. But after killing the Autarch and their bodyguard, the Eldar retreated. But as they retreated, they captured a young Astartes named Leandros. Different one. I looked it up.
I know. Because if it was that Leandros, I would have been like, I hope they give him to the Dark Eldar for a turkey sandwich.
Yeah. This is viewed as such a cowardly act, and they're not willing to sacrifice a battle brother, that Trajan and his crew pursue the fleeing Eldar.
Into a trap!
It's a trap!
Yeah. Yeah, the BL-10. This story doesn't make any sense. They're getting their just butts whooped. But apparently they hadn't committed all of their forces. I think their idea was, we'll lure the leader of the Ultramarines in and kill him, and then they'll all just fall apart. Which the first part does happen. They lure them in, and Trajan comes running after them, and all of a sudden, warp spiders. And so Trajan's very dead.
Except for the fact that apparently Titus has taken multiple levels in Barbarian, so he decides to click the rage button and gets pretty mad.
Yeah, Titus then and his command squad slaughter all of the Eldar nearby, grab Trajan's dead body along with this Leandros kid, takes him back. They rout the Eldar and they leave the sector. They then take Trajan's body back to McCreg. Upon returning to McCreg with the dead body of Trajan, Khalgar himself promotes Titus to captain.
At the time, which is a huge deal because Khalgar is the...
It's not a big
chief.
Deal. To be fair, that's why I left. Like, they make it out like it's a big deal. Khalgar himself promoted him. I'm sorry, there's only 10 captains. And you get a new captain every, 100 years? Who else is doing it other than Khalgar? You think...
But by the way, I think that most of captain... I think that this is one of the few times that someone actually got officially promoted. Because it feels like most captain upgrades are because, hey, Captain Ted, how are things going? Oh, he no longer is ahead. Captain Tim, how are things going?
But eventually, they always make it eventually official. My point is that it's always done by the chapter master. So it's just a fine thing where I wrote it and I'm like, Khalgar promoted himself. I'm like, who else was going to do it? Was it going to be an email? You know what I mean? No. Anyway, so let's get to the events of Space Marine 1 now, which is not a very good game. It's fine. It's fine, but it's not great. That's how I would describe it. So let's get to it.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
40K Lorecast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings may vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The world of Graia. Graia sits in the Segmentum Tempestus, which is the bottom part of the galaxy. And
I think you meant to say southern part?
No, it's the bottom. Anyway. just saying.
I do love that's how they refer to it, by the way.
Yeah.
It is the southern.
It's the southern part. It's the bottom. Anyway, around 900 or so of M41. So it's like this lore is set in the earlier part of modern 40K. So Cadia hasn't fallen yet, which matters because there's
not right before, but
99 years before. I think Cadia falls in 999. So this is 900. So yes. Anyway.
Well, he's asleep for 200. I'm just figuring out the timeline.
Yeah, the timeline's not that crystal clear. It's close-ish, but around this time, so maybe it's the other one, an Orc-Wa hits the system.
Grimskull.
Yeah, Warboss Grimskull, who, the animations on him are rough. They appear, start attacking the planet. Graia was a manufacturing world for the Imperium, so they really couldn't let it fall to the orcs. There is a Cadian regiment there, the Cadium 203rd, and because they actually weren't there. They were en route to another world, got the call and pivoted and went there.
And I'm going to give props to the Cadians, because Cadians have always, Cadia stands. Mm-hmm. Cadians have always been the guys that get sent to all the bad things. But man, they get sent with the worst intel all the time. They get sent over to this
as opposed to Krieg?
Sure.
Of them. Spoiler alert. Name the regiment or name the regiment world where they're like, we're walking into.
You know what? I want to have in Discord, guys. Go in and tell me who gets the worst assignments. Because Talaron, Cadia, and Krieg.
It's usually Krieg, but Krieg chooses them. That's the problem.
That is true.
We can't count Krieg. Because what's going on there? Oh, the entire world's on fire. That sounds interesting. Thank you.
Going back over Space Marine 1 and the story of it, it's just, they just show up, and it's why they were told, hey, John, Brad, can you help me out? There's some guys roughing up my grocery store, and we show up and there's just like an army there. You're like, hey man, John and I showed up with brass knuckles.
Yeah, we were ready for what's the Jackie Chan movie where he's running the grocer? Like, we're ready for that one, not War of the Worlds.
Yeah. So. And they show up and not to make their plight there, but they just get insta-wrecked.
Yeah, because, it's not going well. But there's good news, because they weren't the only ones to hear it. Luckily, the most noble of all the Space Marine factions also heard the call, and the Ultramarines were on their way.
The most noble.
I'm not going to keep doing this forever.
I know. It is funny, because the orcs did do cunning but brutal tactics, because they took over the orbital defense platforms, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, so what happens is the Space Marines show up and well, really, for the game, just three of them. So you've got, well, actually, just two of them originally. Oh, no, he grabs them later. That's right. So it's Titus, Leandros, and Sidonis.
Boo. Oh, sorry. I'm going to boo him. Because you know how they show up? They jump down and do an orbital onto the orbital platforms. And Leandros complains the entire time while he's reading the rules. You're not supposed to do this. I wish that guy got shot in the head.
Anyway, so.
I'm a big fan.
Yes. Anyway, they push through the orcs and they meet the local inquisitor named Drogon. Drogon is there directing the forces of the Imperium in their defense against the orc invasion. And he informs Titus and his retinue, which I freaking hate now, that he'd been on Graia working on a special weapon called the Psychic Scourge. And this weapon was behind enemy lines now, because where else would it be? Yeah. And if Titus, seriously, like, why do they move the weapons you care about? And also, by the way, if the story I'm telling you guys, you're saying, hey, John, I thought you said Space Marine 1. Yeah, unfortunately, you're going to see a lot of parallels. So Titus and the crew have to go and find this special weapon.
Set this up correct, my friend, because when you play the game and you watch, you show up and this guy is clearly up to something. He's doing everything but comically playing with his mustache.
Drogon's unique. So what happens with Drogon is, but he tells him, if you guys just go behind enemy lines and get this great weapon, you can activate the Psychic Scourge, and then it will cure us of this invasion.
Yeah, and he also is so vague about what it's going to do.
Yeah.
It's going to do something good, maybe. Just activate it. Don't worry about it. Stop asking all these tough questions.
Titus' crew, they fight their way there. They activate the Psychic Scourge and discover pretty quickly they'd been deceived. Because the truth is
that, oh, no.
Yeah. Drogon had been corrupted by the forces of chaos, which happens a lot.
He hadn't even just corrupted. He'd been overtaken possessed.
He'd been possessed by a chaos sorcerer. And as soon as they activate this Psychic Scourge, it does not scourge any psychic. It becomes a psychic scourge because the sky opens and a warp portal appears, and the Chosen of Nemeroth pour into invade Graia. And
who
Nemeroth is a chaos sorcerer
who had taken over for him.
Yeah. Then they've taken the Psychic Scourge with them. Titus then grabs the Psychic Scourge and starts moving backwards to try and get to a defensive position. But they're being pursued by the chaos sorcerer Nemeroth. and eventually they're cornered by him and his forces. And as Nemroth's about to kill them, War Boss Grimskull arrives because he
Leroy Jenkins.
He comes running in because he wanted the sparky thing that Titus had.
That is true. He does call it that.
That sparky thing, yeah. And then they have a battle. It's a really fun part of the game, actually, resulting in almost a Duke Nukem level finish. It's that part was fun because after getting bested, Grimskull looks at Titus and says, "I ain't done with you, Yumi."
This is a badass line, dude. You gotta set this up.
And Titus looks at him and goes, "But I'm done with you," and shoots him in the head. It's a cool scene. It's a cool scene. So Titus then and his crew, they get back to the mustering point and they have to work towards the next step. And they realize the truth behind everything. This is when they discover Drogon had died before the invasion, or he'd been possessed by a demon and by Nemroth. And the sorcerer was looking to ascend to demon princehood by using this psychic scourge to do it. And his plan is, I'll just put enough warp energy into me and then I'll become a super psyker. I wonder if that ever happens in any other Space Marine games. So
also there's no way I'm letting this go without saying that they weakened at Bernie's dim. So,
100%. Yeah. So while this is all going on, though, a very large fleet of the Imperium arrives in orbit. You have Ultramarines, now Blood Angels are joining the fight. Because truth is, orcs are one thing, but a Chaos Incursion is totally different. So the Imperium will throw a lot more at that.
All right. I'm getting on my Brad soapbox again. Because these things happen quite a bit where you're like, pressed, you've lost friends, your brothers are dying. And then Chaos or whatever they're concerned about shows up. And then all of a sudden, all these forces are actually free to come help you. And you're like,
"Oh yeah, we had time.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Like, what was going on before you? Were you guys having a euchre tournament?
You're
like,
you guys just blowing
me off. Yeah. I had some stuff to do. You're like, what were you doing? I was binge watching New Girl.
Exactly.
You're like, what was going on here, man?
Not all the writing is great. Problem that Titus knows is the portal to Chaos is growing rapidly. And Titus realizes if he doesn't do something, there's going to be a massive Chaos invasion, maybe too much for the fleet in orbit to deal with. So he has a plan. And his plan is, what if we shoot the portal with the thing that made it, though? So he and his crew decide to fight all the way to the Titan and then use the Titan that's also on the plan to shoot at this thing.
Hold, please. We should probably rewind to the fact that, we skipped the part where there was a Titan.
Yeah, sorry, guys. So the one problem when I'm writing these notes is I played this game back in, like, 2012, right? I didn't play it at release, but around 2012. And so I was like, you know what? We're going to do a cast on Titan on this. I'm going to go play it again. And then Steam wanted $50 for me to do that. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. So I watched some YouTube videos and I read some things to jog my memory. So it's possible some of my, I'm going to get all the facts right on Space Marine 1, but my order of operation may get messed up a little bit just because I didn't want to buy a game that I didn't actually like that much in the first place to play it again. So sorry in advance.
Also, this part of the game is really, really cool because you go through some cool battles though to get to the Psychic Scourge.
Yeah.
And the animation, even for back then, it's pretty cool though when he shoots the portal.
Yeah, I've got a weird thing. Like I love like late 80s animation, 90s. There's something about like that 2005 to 2015 that just bothers me. And I think because it just looks like a crappy version of what we have now. But anyway, I digress. Titus succeeds. He plugs a psychic scourge into the Titan and he shoots its big gun with this warp thing inside of it at the Chaos portal, and it works. It messes up the portal really bad, slowing down the flow of forces. But this kind of pisses off Nemroth, who attacks. And with the portal weakened, Titus calls in for an evac. His plan is, okay, Nemroth is coming after us. We got to get out of here before the bad guy gets us.
All right. I know I've been on my soapbox a lot today, but it makes me almost 6 feet tall if I stand on a big box. So
you couldn't climb. You couldn't get on top of the box and make you 6 feet tall, Brett.
Today, I could not.
Today's not a good
time. No, but this is so, I actually don't even think this is bad writing. I just think it's funny because they're escaping and in the game, you're making your way. You're fighting and you're running away and you're trying to get to the evac point and you've got the psychic scourge and out of nowhere, Titus goes, "Hey, Sidonis, hold this for me for absolutely no reason."
You're right. Titus has been carrying it the entire time. Whole time. And all of a sudden goes, "Hey, red shirt, hold this for me and run that way." And Sidonis,
in my mind, Sedona should have been, oh, come on, man. Yeah,
man. I thought we were friends.
And yeah, like, so not cool, dude. Yeah. And now, so he instantly gets killed.
Yes. Sedonis runs. Well, is he good? He runs all the way to the platform. And as the Thunderhawk is coming down, Nemiroff teleports in and kills him, taking the weapon and fleeing. So now we have a problem.
I just love everything about the, hey, man, he's just like, oh, come on, dude. Yeah. I noticed that your name's a little bit higher on the character list. And you just gave me the main plot item. I'm totally dead. And yeah. It's like in Galaxy Quest where he realizes that his name's Guy.
Yeah. My name's actually Guy. God. They even gave me a real lines. People like you, Guy. So now Titus has a problem. The big bad guy has the big bad weapon. So Titus has to go get it. And he orders Leandros to stay with a dying Sedonis. Because I guess they want to put the gene seed. And he's going after Nemiroth solo.
And now, Leandros, he goes, hey, man, what are my possible dialogue options? Whine terribly.
Leandros,
I'm assuming that it was A, B, C, and D. And all of them said, be super whiny and bitch.
Yeah. So Leandros disagrees with this. He tells us this is certain death or more likely a trap. And this has been the entire, we haven't really covered Leandros very much, so we're going to jump into him now. So throughout the entire campaign, Titus keeps showing these like uncanny resistance to warp powers. Others are getting wrecked by the warp and Titus is just able to fight on. And Leandros-
and he's also breaking, he's technically also breaking the rules quite a bit.
Yeah.
But he's breaking the rules in, he's jaywalking a lot. He's not doing exactly the letter. Yeah.
And what happens is Leandros just starts getting more and more upset watching Titus do these things. And he eventually tells Titus, Nemiroth is trying to lure you into a trap to capture you for some unknown agenda, you know, because, hey, the fleet's here anyway. Let's let them just blow this guy up. And Titus gives him a solid thumbs up. You're right. And then leaves and does his thing anyway.
So, he just goes, cool story, bro. I'm out.
Yeah. So what ends up happening while Titus goes on his little hero quest is Leandros becomes the bad guy. He contacts the Inquisition and tells them that he suspects Titus of heresy.
So he tattles on him and also makes stuff up. He has zero. This is what I told you earlier, why I just hate Leandros so much. He has zero reason.
This is why I have to do a podcast with you, because
corrupted.
This is all pretend, and you genuinely get upset.
I'm so mad right now because he's just doing nothing but heroics. He's saving his brothers over and over again. Leandros is like, he's probably corrupted. Do you have any evidence whatsoever to even think this? Absolutely no.
Do you realize many times that princess got captured by Bowser? Was he just bothering you at every level as you're going into a tube going, I gotta go save her again? Brad's on Super Mario. Like, what are we up to with Super Mario World? I know what we're up to with Super Mario's. Just still playing. Oh, just getting mad. Anyway, not real people. All right. Side note about Leandros. Now, the whole reason Leandros is kind of this not great character is because he's a stuck-in-the-mud space marine. He spends the entire game complaining about what is the correct in the galaxy. I will defend him in that I think Leandros, he was poorly written, candidly, but I think what he was meant to be was to represent the kind of your average space marine who doesn't really understand what's going on in the galaxy.
Quoting the Codex Astartes, which is annoying.
Which you're supposed to do. What happens is Titus grabs a Thunderhawk and goes headfirst into Nemiroth, who is in the middle of converting himself into a demon prince, which Titus called out. Well, he's actually at his weakest while being converted into a pseudo god of chaos, which doesn't make a ton of sense, but that's not important. They have a big fight. Titus wins. After the battle, Titus comes out all victorious. I think she's a lieutenant, whatever. The head of the Cadian is there giving a little congratulations. And then a Valkyrie lands, and out of the Valkyrie walks an Inquisitor and Black Templar, which two things. One, why can't I transport my Space Marines and my Valkyrie? Just saying. It costs a lot less than a Thunderhawk.
We do roll points around. Here's the thing that I do want to go on, because they basically say, hey, you got to come with me. I want to find out if you're free of corruption, which he knows is not going to go well at all. But he also doesn't give him a great choice because he's like, you can either come with me or I'm going to smoke show everybody.
But before he does that is the scene where Leandros is there when he comes out. And he turns Leandros and says, is this the one? Leandros says, yes. And Leandros accuses him of heresy, saying, you are a heretic. That's what it is. And yeah, you're right. Then Inquisitor Thrax goes on this kind of really unpleasant speech explaining all the things you've done wrong.
Yeah, he also says he's going to kill everyone.
I will kill everyone. He even says the Ultramarines. He says, if you don't come with me, I will mark the Ultramarines as heretics.
Yeah, I've got a big enough fleet to kill everybody that you have right here, you know?
Yeah. And so
he's a douche.
And the thing about Leandros, now what Leandros then quotes at this point is the Codex Astartes, because I don't have a copy of it, but he says in it, it states that only the powers of chaos can resist the powers of chaos. So kind of like the same way that if you weigh
which is super not correct, by the way.
Well, it is, because if you want to know if someone's a witch, you see if they weigh as much as a duck.
Yeah, that is perfect.
Yeah.
This is so dumb.
Yeah. And then, because of course Titus protests and says, I'm not a heretic, but only
Leandros has met Grey Knights.
But
that is such a wildly incorrect statement that only the powers of chaos can resist chaos.
Leandros hadn't met Grey Knights, had he?
Yes. They at least mentioned the Grey Knights on stuff.
Did they?
They were talking.
All right, fair enough.
Either way, they exist and they know that other people exist. They know librarians.
Yeah.
You can definitely resist chaos without being chaos. Yeah. You're full of crap. Leandros sucks. He's awful.
He's not real, Brett. We're going back
in to, my mind.
We're going back to this like tooth fairy thing. She's not real. Your teeth are safe. You're fine.
You don't know that. That's why I wear retainers.
So as the game ends, you get this great line. Leandros says to Titus, the Codex Astartes leaves no room for doubt. You cannot touch the warp and remove and emerge unscathed. Titus responds saying the Codex Astartes is a set of rules. They guide you, they shape you as an Ultramarine, and they teach you to hold duty and honor above all else. How you choose to live within those rules is the test of a Space Marine, a test you have failed, and then walks away. And that gives us...
And he mic drops him.
Yeah, just straight mic drops him and then walks off. And again, it's not the best graphics, but it looks like Leandros is scowling. It's just an error, guys, of gaming. Now let's get to what happens to Titus after that. Titus is incarceration. So he's taken away by Inquisitor Thrax, the ominous scene, whatever. And it's a cool interaction where Titus says to Thrax, I want nothing more than to learn why I have a resistance to the warp. And Thrax says, we're going to learn that along with great many other things. So let's talk about Thrax and hopefully not give Brett an aneurysm. We're talking about two bad people back to back.
Thrax is such a... I actually hate Leandros more because he's just weak.
Yeah,
he's a bad guy.
Let's get into Thrax and let people decide. So Thrax has been an Inquisitor for over 400 years at this point. And he's a very interesting character study. He's a member of Ordo Malleus, obviously, and Thrax is just laser focused on heresy. And his big thing is what causes heresy. The thing about Thrax is because he's an Inquisitor, he's also a master of history. And he has
that's one of his titles, actually, yeah. He's the Inquisitor historian or whatever
because Inquisitors have full access to all the Imperial history. So Thrax has read everything. And the conclusion he came to is, having read the Horus Heresy, is the downfall of the Imperium are the Astartes. They caused the Horus Heresy, and they're the ones who launched chaos upon mankind. All the worst enemies that mankind has are fallen Astartes, butchering people, leading chaos cults. We see it in games all the time where a single Chaos Space Marine is leading, or Chaos Sorcerer is leading group help. This last Space Marine won. And so his whole thing is it's not that he believes all Astartes are chaos traitors, but he believes all Astartes can become chaos traitors. And so he endeavors to find and snuff out wherever he can find them. So Thrax actually makes some sense. But like all Inquisitors, he gets a little, let's go with misguided when it comes to trying to protect the Imperium.
Misguided.
Yeah.
He causes some serious issues. And also, there's a lot of torture and a lot of false imprisonment going on.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So let's go with the backstory of Thrax is that while the events of Grya are beginning, Thrax is monitoring Segmentum Solar, obviously, and Segmentum Tempestus. Because he wants just like, this is his zones of watch. The orc invasion happens on Grya. He doesn't really care. It's orcs and he's not Ordo Xenos. So whatever. But then a distress call comes referencing a Chaos Space Marine Lord. And Thrax grabs his crew and goes there ASAP.
Beelines.
Yeah. And Thrax even makes a comment that he gets there and doesn't even care that the Ultramarines are there. And the Ultramarines are, quote, an unblemished chapter record. When it comes to this, Thrax is still, nope. Note they're unblemished, unlike certain amphibious ones.
Shut up. Just shut up.
All right.
Well, he instantly starts putting the microscope on Titus.
Right. And I will be honest. If you come at it from Thrax's perspective, so he gets there. There's this one Space Marine captain running all over the place, right? And let's think about his story. So he opened the Chaos Gate.
He did open a Chaos Gate. He has been, whether he knew it or not, working for the Chaos Sorcerer.
Let's just go into open the Chaos Gate. So there was no Chaos Gate. Titus goes somewhere, grabs this weapon the Inquisitor's never seen before, and opens a Chaos Gate with it. And Titus's explanation is, I didn't know it was going to do that. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, okay, I can see where you're coming from. Then the next piece is, well, why did you do it? Oh, the Inquisitor told us to do it. Which one? Drogon. Oh, the one who was possessed by a demon. So a demon-possessed dude gave you an artifact and sent you over there, and then you opened a Chaos Gate. It sounds an awful lot like you're working for Chaos here, man. Just throwing it out there. And then, I mean, by the way, one of his own command squad members says, oh, yeah, that guy's a heretic. I think we've reached a point where the Inquisitor is allowed to say, I have some follow-up questions for you.
That's all. His follow-up questions were, hey, man, how about I stuff you in stasis pod? Every couple 15 to 20 years, I pop you out, poke you with a stick, and go, are you Chaos? No? Cool, back in the stasis pod.
Yeah, but Thrax, yeah, it's true. Thrax is the bad guy in the story, but he also was a very good Inquisitor. He's actually the one who pointed out Luft Heron, the guy we covered in the Badab Wars.
Huron Blackheart.
Yeah.
the tyrant of Badab.
He's the one who before, and it started going off, like, hey, I think this guy's kind of a dick. You guys should look at him. He's personally declared 6 chapters of Astartes as traitors. We don't know if they all were, but let's just take him at his word. And eventually he starts to grow a little bit too big for his britches, which is kind of the end of Thrax. So Lysander reemerges from the warp. Lysander's a member of the Imperial Fists who got lost to the warp. A few hundred years he was in the warp. He comes out, the Imperial Fist, hey, our former, I believe it's the captain, is back. And Thrax,
Chapter Master.
Yeah, the Chapter Master. And Thrax goes, oh, no, you have to give him to me, personally, me, yeah. So I can interrogate him.
Yeah, and the Fist sent several faxes of their butts over to him.
The Fist sent a fist with one of the fingers pointing upwards back to him on that one. Thrax then starts petitioning the Inquisition to effectively hold the Imperial Fists in contempt or as heretics. And it's not until the head of the Inquisition on the Lords of Terra has to send Thrax a strongly worded memo saying, hey man, shut up. And so Thrax is a little bit upset. But Thrax's downfall I like a lot. And we're going to get to the end of Thrax. And the thing about Thrax is he actually dies at the hands of the Inquisition, hilariously enough.
Because he's a heretic at the end.
But I like how he becomes a heretic. This is because I think Thrax is a bad guy with good intentions, which is what most of them are. But
just give the Wreck-It Ralph, you're a bad guy, but you're not a bad guy.
Basically, yeah, actually. I mean, because the thing about Thrax is that Thrax is, his actions and his goals were actually noble and high-minded. He just eventually started going crazy. Because we have other Inquisitors who are actually evil. You do get this, people who
100%.
Who are actually corrupt.
If you look into the abyss, the abyss eventually looks back. And the thing is that he starts doing some more and more he was Titus isn't the only person he has on ice.
True.
And he's got.
We'll get there. But my point on Thrax, we'll get here in a second. Thrax doesn't get corrupted till the very end. He just chooses a really inopportune time to become corrupted because of who he's next to him when he gets corrupted. But let's not bury that lead. Let's get there. It's a fun reveal. So there's a chapter, Space Marine of Unknown Origins, and it had to be purged from Imperial records. They're called the Grey Slayers. Not to be confused, by the way, with the Space Wolf Grey Slayers, who were part of the Great Crusade. They were good. These Grey Slayers, they had a recruiting world. And they didn't realize it, but the recruiting world had fallen to chaos. So the taint of the chaos in their recruits spread, it becomes, is in the aspirants and spreads the chapter itself. So Thrax, to his credit, is the one who detects this. And him and the Grey Knights deploy to the planet and cleanse it. Thrax, though, is obsessed with Astarte's corruption and wants to know more. So he begins investigating the ruins of the world, looking for how can this happen? He wants to understand how can a angel of the emperor fall to chaos? And he must have opened the wrong box because
I'm trying to figure out whether he grabbed the Sith holocron or whether he opened up the Hellraiser puzzle and just went, hey, I wonder what this does.
Yeah. And what I love about the story is so he basically opens something up, immediately gets possessed by a demon. Unfortunately, he's standing next to a Grey Knight when that happens. And the Grey Knight just turns and goes, nope, and bolt her to face. Problem solved. And so that's why I point. Thrax dies the last, his corruption happens late. We get a lot of Inquisitors all through the Black Library books who are corrupted for a long time and are agents of chaos. Thrax was not an agent of chaos for more than, 2 seconds when a Grey Knight went, yeah, no.
Also, Grey Knights are douches.
Yeah, I'm always torn on Grey Knights because...
Hey, man, I heard there was a story about you seeing a guy that knew a guy that saw a commercial about chaos. We should kill everyone.
Or like, actually, what? Hey, I heard that you've seen what I look like. It's also that one.
Yeah, it's hard not to. You're in glowing silver, you psycho.
But we're going to do something I don't love doing. I'm a cliffhanger here now. And I'm a cliffhanger here now because we just got to the end of it. We know that Titus is imprisoned somewhere. We know Thrax was the one in prison, and Thrax is now dead. And Titus obviously doesn't die. So in our next episode, we're going to cover what happened to Titus, and then what happens to Titus next, and eventually the Space Marine 2. And then after we get through Space Marine 2, we'll jump into the Amazon thing, secret level. And then we'll close out with...
The Amazon thing.
That's what it is. Come on, it's not that easy. And after that, we'll close out with the 500 Worlds campaign, what we know about it. Well, until next week, John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
Take care, everybody.
Hockey fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.